This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people. Hi there, this is Christo here, and in today's show, I will be talking with Andre Chaperone. Andre is regarded as the best in the world in email marketing and copywriting by many of the world's top marketers. He shares in this episode how he creates emails and series of emails and why he never ever creates just one standalone email. He also shares and reveals how he makes sure people are engaged by his emails and they're happy to receive the email. So if you're doing email marketing, which I'm sure you are, or you should be, you'll get a lot out of this episode. Enjoy the show. Welcome back. On today's show, I have Mr. Andre with me here. Well, I could say we're in the studio, but that would be a lie because I'm in Narrabeen in Sydney and Andre's in Gibraltar. Are you at home? Welcome, Andre.
Yes, we're at home here in a cold Gibraltar, which is far from Australia. No, we're close to Australia.
Yeah, exactly. If we drilled straight through planet Earth, we might be kind of close to hitting you.
Then you'd probably get close.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so thanks so much for joining me on the show and joining our listeners to share and share some insights. I've been excited about having you on for quite a while. And, well, our listeners probably might know already, but we're good friends as well. So I've got, like, I'm super stoked to get Andre along on the show today because he does a lot of amazing stuff in the marketing world, especially when it comes to writing and creating emails, and he's quite well known in this space. So what I thought we'd do to start off is to share a little bit of either something you'd like to share, Andre, and then we'll dig into a bit of nitty-gritty as we go, but around either a really cool email that you've once done that maybe got some great results, or something you're really proud of, or a series of emails, or some sort of situation or something. Would you mind opening with that, sharing with the listeners?
Okay. So obviously I know how I operate, and you kind of do, but nobody else does. So yeah, one of the things I just want to frame, I guess, is that I almost never write single emails. So emails in isolation. So they're always typically part of a sequence or a bigger picture, with the goal of creating some context in the mind of the reader, building attention, and delivering some what I call Easter eggs along the way. So I have a little framework that I kind of go with, and that's how I go from a single email to multiple emails. Nice. So a way to explain it would be, if I'm talking about a certain offer or want to expose people to a certain offer or promotion, I'll send out the initial email, which creates the context. And within that email will be somewhere in the email near the end would be a link that says, if you're interested in hearing more of this thing, click this link. And then there will be what I call an Easter egg. So the Easter egg is mainly for people that that aren't necessarily interested in whatever this thing is. So there's always something for them. But those people that are interested in whatever this thing is, they click the link and then they get tagged, and then they get the rest of the emails about that sequence. I'll never send multiple emails to everybody about something that I have no idea if, you know, what percentage of people are into this thing. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. This is awesome. So it's always an initial feeler kind of to gauge if they're into that thing or not. Two things would be awesome to know, like what isn't it? Like the Easter egg, what's kind of example of that? Like some sort of value or something, I assume. And then what happens if I did go for it? Like I click the link and what happens next?
So the Easter egg is typically it can be completely unrelated, but many times it is related to, well, it's obviously related to something that I know that they're going to be interested in. So I'll write an email. It'll create context for whatever I want to expose them to. There'll be an opportunity for them to click the link so they can learn more. And for those people that aren't interested in it, I actually overtly say, don't click this link if this isn't for you at this point in time. And then I'll end off, and then it'll say a PS. By the way, last week or yesterday or today, this morning, I read this article on Kevin Kelly's site about 1,000 true fans, which he's just updated. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Boom. And I'll paste the link to the article. So there's typically always something of value in an email. So loads of times people will just like scroll down and they'll start off in the PS area to see what I've got to say or what I've got to share. And then they'll go back to the top and then start to read the email. So by doing that, people are always anticipating receiving the next email, even if they aren't interested in the actual offer that's, you know, essentially going to follow that email if they're interested.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's still kind of training. I guess it's training people to open the emails and see, well, it's giving them value basically straight up so that they don't think that the emails are annoying and get pissed off and unsubscribe, right?
Yeah.
So they go, this guy sends good emails. I'm on your email. I get emails from time to time, so I know exactly what you're talking about, and this is really cool.
Yeah, so that's how I do all my promotions, whether they're an internal promotion or if they're for an external, you know, like a JV affiliate thing. I'll run through the same process. And those people that have clicked the link then get tagged, and then I can then send them the rest of the sequence. Like when I went over to Shremko's thing to see you in Australia a while back. I mean, timing wasn't great because I just committed to doing this promotion. It was an affiliate promotion, so I was promoting somebody else's product. And I'd only like sent out two emails, and then we had to disappear and go catch a flight to Australia. And then we got stuck in Hong Kong, and then we got to Australia, and I had to go to Shremko's Silver Circle thing, and I sat on the floor in the corner, and I hammered out.
I remember you on the floor there in the corner doing something.
Yeah, and I wrote an email about my experience getting stuck in Hong Kong and almost not making it to Australia, and that whole email was just a story of me getting stuck in Hong Kong, and then right at the very bottom, the PS was, oh, by the way, don't forget this promotion's ending today or the next day or whatever it was. So I was the number one affiliate for that thing, so it worked well, even though we got stuck in Hong Kong and didn't have much time to do anything. The process of how this thing works works really well.
Yeah, I think the really awesome key takeout from this is this: the fact that you're not bothering the wrong people, but they're still happy. It's such a huge insight that I think most people just like it's an oversight for most. Like I'm sure it's a success because people have already put their hand up. So you're sending it to people who have already said, yeah, I'm, you know, somewhat interested in whatever you're about to pitch to me potentially. And then do it in this personal way that's
if you think about the dynamics of what actually happens, right? So if somebody sent you an email and you knew exactly what this thing was about because the email created the context and said, you know, we are going to be promoting product X, right? Whether it's your own product or somebody else's product. If you're interested in learning about this, click this link and then I'll tell you more. So you've already pre-framed that this is a promotion, first of all, and then they click the link, right? So now they're raising their hand to say, yes, I want to know about this promotion. So now they're in, right? So now there's that, you have their buy-in and they know that they've raised their hand for this thing. So now they can't be pissed off with you for sending them emails about the promotion that they've already said, I want to hear about this promotion, right?
Yep.
So that dynamic works really well and you don't piss off people that way because they're the ones that have said they want to know more information about this thing.
Yeah. Awesome. I think I don't know of anyone better than yourself that's good at actually doing that and taking the time to segregate and make sure that things are really targeted. I guess because that's your world of expertise. It seems like it to me and to, I guess, a lot of people that you're the emails, it's so, that's such a strong point for you and that's what you focus on. Like someone like myself, I might do more video marketing because I'm happy to stand in front of a camera. How's your expertise is this world and it's that precision because it might sound to someone listening like, oh, okay, you know, the poor guy got stuck in Hong Kong, but then he had to write two emails, you know, like this, like two emails, come on. to have this promotion that's, you know, probably resulted in something great outcome for you, I imagine, you know, and probably sold a heap of stuff. I know just for the listeners, I know some of, like I've seen some of the results from Andre's promotions of products and things, and he'll win affiliate, competitions and things for big businesses and marketers and things throughout America. And it's,
I think that one was about 30,000 I probably earned for that number one spot, which was, and I only sent maybe 6 emails in total.
Oh, you poor guy. So there you go. They're very, very cool. Tough amount of work. What's that end up? $5,000 an email.
Actually, it's, that's a metric that I record. I record the money, and then how long it took to write all those emails, and then you get your hourly rate, and that's how I can judge or rank different promotions. And so then next time around, I can say, oh, actually, this one did really well. Obviously, my audience is into this certain thing. Because I've got some sort of data that I can then, you know, it gives me insights as to what's worked well.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. For a promotion like that, what sort of time just roughly would it take you to craft an email?
Sometimes emails can take a while for me to write, like a long time. It just, you know, your mind's either in it or it's not in it, or the ideas come easily or they don't come easily. So it's difficult to say, but if I can earn around $5,000 an hour for a certain promotion, then that's good.
Yep.
Because that's time well spent, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I bet off a lot of the back of those, there's probably sometimes recurring.
Right. Yes. Which I never ever factor in anyway. That's all extra gravy stuff, right? So. I always have it at the front end numbers.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, very cool. Very, very, very cool. And is a typical promotion, would it be 6 emails? Like what's a standard if you were going to promote something for someone? Let's say it was like someone's Facebook advertising course, or it's, you know, a video course or something like that, and you're promoting it for someone else or even your own, you know, if it was to your list, what's the...
It'll be anywhere from 3 to 10 emails, I would say. I think on the long side, sometimes I've gone up to maybe 12 emails on a promotion, but it just depends. I mean, some of these promotions, the windows open because they've got pre-launch for 2 weeks, and then they've got launch for 2 weeks, and then they've got after cart close, and then it just goes on and on and on. So I don't typically like those ones, but some of the shorter ones is like just 3 emails. It's just short and sweet. Again, you don't have to write 10 emails to promote something that costs $200, right? But it's, if it costs $2,000, then you need to kind of, you know, write more.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, this is interesting. And you've always, and you mentioned that it's never the one email, but so it would be the one as the feeler. Is that right? Just to clarify that for everyone, it could be like it's a one email, that's the feeler. And if you say, yes, I'm interested, you put your hand up by clicking the link, then you'll get the series. So the series is only, you know, it's only going to be one off feeler if you didn't put your hand up, basically. Is that right?
Yeah. So I segment a lot. So if, let's say that this is a Facebook marketing offer, and I already have segments of people that I know are into Facebook advertising, so I won't have to bother them necessarily because I already know that they're going to be included in this thing. Mm. Whereas if I have a more of my general front end list, whereas people may be into Facebook ads, but they may be into AdWords or something else, right? So then they will get that context email that then asks them, you know, are you interested in this? This is what I'm going to do. If you're not, no big deal. Here's something cool for you anyway. So it doesn't interrupt them. They're still getting value, and it's only one email that they're exposed to, whereas everybody else will get more, and they're okay with that.
Cool. What's your process when you do come up with ideas and things? Like, how do you come up with content ideas? Is it just you've got to get stuck in Hong Kong on? what's the kind of process for?
It's magic.
How's the magic work? So what's the
Okay, so I guess the bad news is there's no formula per se, mm-hmm. But there is ways to get there. And so there's a quote by Stephen King and he articulates this really, really well. Obviously, he's one of the most successful fiction authors ever.
Yep.
So he has to kind of come up with ideas all the time. And so I'll read what he says. Let's get one thing clear right now, shall we? There is no idea dump, no story central, no island of the buried bestsellers. Good ideas seem to come quite literally from nowhere, sailing at you right out of the empty sky. Two previously unrelated ideas come together and make something new under the sun. Your job isn't to find these ideas, but to recognize them when they show up. So that's what he says. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be totally true. And he mentions two things there. He says one thing overtly, and then he alludes to the other thing. So the one thing he says is recognize them when they show up. You can't just, you know, you can't go out seeking these things per se, but you need to recognize them when a good idea shows up. So that's a slightly different way of thinking about it. Mm. And the other thing that he indirectly alludes to is that an idea isn't a single thing. It's typically two things that then make up the idea. So there needs to be that connection between two or more ideas. So I like to call these things idea babies, right? So, you know, you need a guy and a chick before you can get a little kiddie, right? So the same thing is with ideas. So that's how I see ideas now, is I need to find these two things that I can then combine together, and then it makes something unique. So some of the things that I do is I have on my phone or my iPad, I have Medium. So the Medium app, I have an app called Flipboard. There's one called Pulse. Pulse is owned by the LinkedIn guys, and the new Apple News app is really good. So basically these are just mechanisms that pull in stories from all over the place, right? But then you can say, well, I'm interested in games and business, and you know, you can just kind of identify the parts or these categories that you're into, and it should be very diverse. It shouldn't just be on business if you're into business. It needs to be broader than that. And then these tools suck in all this information, then you can just sit there. So I'll, in the mornings, if I need to come up with an idea for a promotion, I'll just plonk my ass there with my iPad on my lap, and I'll just browse through Medium, Flipboard, Pulse, Apple News, and just read various things. And then it's about recognizing these ideas, right? And they always show up, and it's like, ah, yes. And you can then connect that up to the promotion somewhere. You can tie it together. It's easier to experience than it is to explain, I guess, because it's a bit conceptual when you're explaining it. But when you're experiencing it and you just give it a go, it actually works out really amazing. And typically these ideas are from diverse things.
Yeah, this is really interesting approach. For sure, I like it. So you'll look it through this news, and have you got in mind what you're going to promote in the first place? Is it something like that? And then you're looking for, like, how do I find an angle for it, or just is it obviously something to tie it in with?
Yeah. So if it's for a promotion, or if it's just extending an email sequence that I already have, it's like, okay, I need an idea to continue this thing out. So I'll just sit down for an hour or less and just browse through these things. And sometimes you don't find ideas. They just don't come. And other times you get loads of them, and then you just write them all down. But it's rare that you don't. And maybe you just need to try it a few times, but it works amazingly well. Mm. I can be reading something on Business Insider of a completely unrelated thing. You know, they've got an article of some person that has a coffee shop, and there was this insight that allowed them to do X, Y, and Z. Well, now I can tie in the whole idea behind that thing into the promotion that I'm sending out. And I can either cite that thing or just use the idea and then apply it to the story that I'm going to tell in my email. So that's just some ways of coming up with ideas. I think some people mistakenly think that you can find an idea, so they go out seeking, you know, looking for the idea per se, and it's like when you're trying to remember something, if you're trying to remember something, you won't remember it. But if you don't focus on trying to remember something, it'll just suddenly appear in your mind.
Yeah.
It kind of works the same way.
Yeah, interesting. Because a lot of our listeners would be listening and think, okay, look, pretty much when they do an email promotion or something like that, they're going to write something or they're going to write a blog. It's just like on the surface a one-off thing. It's like, okay, look, I need to promote this 20% off sale for tomorrow. So they bash out an email just talking about that promotion of that thing. And then this is really interesting because you tie it into a story. So it's almost like news in a way, isn't it? It's in some connection that, hey, here's an interesting story. And then I was just noticing how you do things and somehow it's magically is into an offer. Like it's segued back into, you know, Lady Gaga's got a new haircut. And then before I know it, I'm reading how that's applied to, you know,
right, exactly.
You know, the success principles of what she's doing right there are being taught through this thing over here. And it's like, what the hell just happened? He's promoted this thing and we started over there. And I think it's maybe it's getting us in and getting our attention with that thing that we can relate to. And then you've kind of led us down a trail to this other thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like weaved together. Yeah. Which is very artfully done.
I mean, I will say this, you know, that certain things you don't have to overcomplicate. Not that this is overcomplicating anything, but sometimes if you're running a 50% sale for, you know, 48 hours and it's a hard, you know, it starts here and ends here, you don't have to be funny. I mean, be clever about that. Mm. The email is just, oh, by the way, we've got a 50% discount. Thought you might be interested in this thing. You know what it is anyway. So here's the link. You know, you can, you don't have to be clever in those situations.
Yep. Yeah, I think I agree. I was looking at the before this call, I thought I'll have a look through my emails and have a little look at what's landed well with our marketing things. And actually one of our promotional ones, but this is to our database. They know who we are. They're familiar with. So I did this. One of them ones, the subject line that did really well was one page marketing plan attached. And I think just the ones that we tend to get, if it's like last minute things, it'll say, hey, this is tomorrow or this is next week or this thing's attached. And it's like, because I think it's something really specific. So they think, oh, what's tomorrow? You know, so they open it. And the one page marketing plan, and I just had a little like hyphen, little dash attached. And it just said, it was promoting a webinar, but it was kind of like a last ditch effort to get more registration. And it got 600 registrations through a webinar, which was like pretty amazing. And it just said, I've attached your marketing plan for today's online event at 6 p.m. Hopefully see you online, smiley face. And then his little star, the little asterisky star thing said, if you're not sure what I'm writing about, we have a free online event today at 6 p.m. Sydney and Melbourne time. You can still register, check it out here, basically. And it said, this is a one-off, you know, online live session only to help you map out your online marketing. Hope to see you there, Christo. And it just went pretty nice. But they are very familiar with us as well. And it was very specific to, because I guess your market, you promote the different areas of different things. So it's very specific to what our database is interested in as well. Mm-hmm. We already know. It's not like we had to segregate them. We could segregate them to get more specific. It was about if it was like a Facebook promotion for how to do Facebook or how to do video or something. But with that one, it was pretty general. So hopefully, you know, everybody's interested in it. Another thing we do too is we look at customer questions for topics. Like if we're going to do an email that's like a tip, say for our audience, we'll just look for what are common questions that we're being asked by our audience. If something's come up a few times, if five people have said it, it's likely that there's 1,000 people out there that just haven't spoken up. So I tend to keep ideas in Evernote as well, and just so I've always got the ideas on me there.
What I would do is in your context, without knowing too much of the details, is I would definitely tag people. So if a certain person has attended, let's say, two or three or four of these free events but has never upgraded to one of your paid services, right, I would tag that person like and put them into a separate cohort, and then I could send out emails specific to them and say, hey, I noticed you've been to four of our online things. I hope you're enjoying them, but I noticed that you haven't, you know, done this other thing. You're taking this next step. How can we help? You know, let's jump on a call for 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good advice. The it's like I'm just thinking too with what the listeners would think hearing this stuff. It's like, so they could do exactly the same thing if they've promoted something like you've just said as well. Let's say, if an example of like if my email just said, if somebody said, here's your $20 voucher for our store that expires tomorrow or something like that, that would get their attention basically. And then you could segregate exactly the same thing. So just so to make sure everybody understands that everything we're explaining here can apply to everyone. Well, just about.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, almost all the ESPs, the email service providers that are out there now they allow you enough, they give you enough features to be able to do some cool things. So, you know, what we do is we can reward certain people for certain behaviors. So we can assign points when somebody opens an email, clicks a link, orders a product. And when the points that they've accumulated get to a certain number, it will launch another sequence that says, hey, just noticed you've been consuming our stuff. I'd like to reward you with this free bonus. We only give this out to our best clients. And it's a special bonus that only they get. But the whole thing's automated.
That's really good. Yeah, that's beautiful. We do similar, because I know a lot of people probably do similar. We do things where we'll lead, like the lead scoring, we'll score the people in the database due to interaction. And then it might result in a phone call or something like that, or an email, hey, can we help you? However, giving them more targeted, like value is a brilliant idea, to do it that way, to, you know, warm them up even further. And you might say, hey, you might want to come along to this, or here's an event, we'll give you 50% off or something like that to get you in the door, because they might be likely to buy your next thing, basically.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What about you use a lot of personal stories. Is it always personal stories, or you're obviously mixing it up with the news and things? And what's your idea behind that? Is your part of your writing process to position, you know, yourself as a marketing, you know, as a voice, as a kind of a character behind the marketing, or what's your thoughts around that?
Well, the personal stories, it's just, I think people can relate to stories that are humanized. They hold interest, they fly underneath the sales radar, they build rapport and empathy. So I always try and inject some sort of some element of a personal story into the big idea of an email that I send. It's kind of as simple as that, really. I just think there's enough people out there that do a bad job of email. So when you come along and you start to tell stories, you kind of stand out, right? So it's good when most of the people out there are doing a bad job, because it allows us to do a better job in contrast.
Yeah, I like it. There certainly is enough email out there, because I'm probably it's probably a lot of our listeners here thinking, you know what, the last thing I need to do is be another bloody email in people's inbox. You know, email is not going away, and email is still powerful. And someone like yourself, you know, you're probably making a living off email. You know, it's the whole thing, the livelihood and ourselves. We do so much through email that it's, yeah, as long as it's done well, I agree. There's plenty of room for great emails in there, and the story sounds good. We definitely use ourselves too. I just wanted to quiz you on that, because we do it in, obviously, we do videos a lot because it's just I guess it's our comfortable medium. Like, you probably enjoy writing, whereas I love writing and I feel fulfilled when I write, but I'm just so unreliable to write. I'm crappy at writing. Like, I can't be relied upon. Whereas with a video, I can stand in front of the camera, do the video, and it's done, you know, 3 minutes later. And we definitely use ourselves as a face in the video and as a character. It's almost like we're a resource that's available to the business to be used as a personality and as a tool, basically, to be used. So we use ourselves to build.
Yeah, that's key, really. It's to play on the strengths. I mean, my strength is not in front of a camera. I'm a shy introvert. So, you know, I can't do that stuff. So I've had to get good at just articulating my thoughts using email. So I've got really good at that over the years because that is the only skill I have, really. I can't do the whole video thing. So, but you guys are really good at the video thing. So you can match that up with a decent email, and then you guys are good to go.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Playing to your strengths is a good point. You do what you're good at and you prefer to do. Otherwise, probably not a lot going to happen. What about – so – it's always about engagement with you, and you're tying together all these emails and things. And I hear like the whole open loop thing. Do you want to explain that and what that means to create the, you know, like tie one email and hook it to the next in your magical way, and kind of how that works?
Well, so, you know, we live in an interrupt-driven society, so people are growing immune to the constant barrage of advertising and email messages that they don't care about, right? So getting attention has become a challenge. So I'm going to have to, like, rewind slightly before I talk about the open loop.
Oh, yeah.
Just to create some context around this thing that I think is even more important than anything else.
Awesome.
So going back to the very beginning, I think it's really important to build this thing, trust and attention. So there's a lot of heavy lifting that I do in the very, very beginning, that the only focus on that is to build trust and attention. And I do that because I want to create a situation that when I send an email out and it lands in the inbox and it says the email's from Andre Chaperon, it gets opened. I don't have to be clever with subject lines, you know, because I've already built up that trust and attention. I've earned it, and it's not easy to do, but it's worth doing. So I think that's the first thing I want to mention, and then I'll layer on the things like you mentioned. Open loops. What's an open loop? So
on the trust and attention, are you?
Yeah.
How are you doing that? Is that just providing a heap of value, unexpected value? How do you do that?
Yes, it's about being consistent in not, what's the word? It's
without selling the hell out of people.
Yeah, and it's also not tricking people, because there's so many people out there that will send blind emails. And I think, you know, every now and then, when there's a blind email, and a blind email is just, it's just, hey, you should check this thing out. It's really, really cool. Here's the link, sign off, name. It doesn't tell you what it is, right? So it creates curiosity for some people, but then they click on that link and they get disappointed.
Yep.
And then over and over and over again, after a while, that person's now mentally opts out. You've now lost them. I think once you've lost someone's trust and attention, it's gone. So I spend a lot of time building that up and then nurturing that over time. So I'm always consistent in the fact that I have a process, and then the process works, and I want to respect the people that are receiving the emails. I want to respect their time. So I'm always looking at this as, how would I like to be marketed to? And, you know, if it's a promotion, I want to be told about something and given some context around why I should click this link and learn more about a certain thing. So I think it's just about caring about that and caring about the people that you're ultimately serving.
Awesome.
And then just being consistent about that.
Yep.
And then when you layer on all the other cool things like the open loops, it just goes mental. So
tell us about that. What are these other things? What is the open loop? How do you do it?
Well, an open loop is simply an unfinished story. So I'll start something, and then right at the climax, I'll break rapport and end. And, you know, just not finish that idea or thought. And say, you know, email's too long already, I've got to go. Sometimes I'll say, I'll finish this thought off in the next email. Sometimes I won't, just to really drive people crazy. Or I'll be very subtle about open loop, a certain open loop. So within the context of an email, there'll just be this by the way statement that doesn't actually end. It's by the way, if you're interested in this crazy experiment that I ran, and I got this, you know, whatever this result was. Hit reply, let me know, and then I'll continue on with the email. It's just like just this by the way sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then it's amazing how well it works, because people will respond to that email. Hey, tell me about this thing, and then you kind of ignore them for a while, and you send out the next email and the next email, and then at like three emails out, you'll close that loop. And there's some psychological stuff that happens when you open a loop and people are more they're more engaged in listening to the message while that that loop is open, which is why Hollywood and, you know, all the best story, all the best TV episodes, every single episode at the end, there's an open loop, right? There's that cliffhanger
right at
and
the last
then
seconds.
It ends.
Yep.
And new stories now, you know, at the beginning of a new story, they'll list all the things that they're going to cover in the next half an hour. And typically the best one that everybody wants to hear about is the last thing they mentioned. And then they'll start, and you've guaranteed you'll get that last piece of information at 29 minutes, just before they're about to end.
Exactly.
So you're sitting there waiting for this damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the surfing story for me. They say and Kelly Slater wins a surfing event, and then I'm like waiting for it the whole time. Where is that damn story? It's the last. It feels like it's last. Yeah. No, beautiful. And because it's kind of going against. Do you think in your opinion, and obviously the proof's in the pudding anyway, in the results you get, but is there, because most people would think, well, while I've got their attention right now, quickly, you know, sell to them. So it's kind of like you're delaying the inevitable, like you're delaying the thing to get to it, but it's building that tension in the background. Like when you said, you have people even thinking, come on, give it to me, give me more, you know, like it's building that tension. That's going to be, it's like you're building a momentum within them to want you. So that once you hit them with the sale, they can't kind of stop the momentum anymore. It's like they want it too much.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, them making a purchase relieves the tension. If you've really done something well, then them buying something allows them to relieve that tension and get closer to that end result.
Yeah.
So all the other stuff is all the stuff that just builds that desire and the anticipation and those and the drama. I mean, in storytelling, I mean, you can watch any movie. If there's no conflict, it's not a story worth telling, and it gets boring really quickly, right? So you've always got to be thinking about how you can build in some sort of conflict, even if it's just in how you write the message. It doesn't have to be, you know, my mother's dying and whatever. It doesn't have to be conflict like that, but in a way that makes sense to the story and the offer that you exposing them to.
Absolutely. Is there such a thing as a perfect length in an email? What's your, when you send an email, do you try and gauge a specific length?
So the blunt answer is no. There's no, you know, both will work. So all things being equal, a long email and a short email will work. The problem that comes in is that all things aren't equal, right? So like I mentioned just now, many people will send loads of blind emails, and they'll get to the point where they've lost that trust and attention that they should have with their audience, right? So those people aren't actually focusing and reading those emails. So it doesn't matter if that email's short or long, they aren't getting opened, right?
Mm.
Even if they don't unsubscribe, it's just those people have mentally opted out. And unless it's just lucky and they happen to be bored and looking, let me see what blah, blah, blah got to say, they'll open it. But for the most part, it's irrelevant. If you maintain trust and attention and respect that, it doesn't matter if an email is long or short, they're going to read it. So I write a lot of very long emails, but then I also, you know, have some short emails when it makes sense. So ultimately both are going to work, but I think for most people, it's more difficult to send long emails because they haven't done a great job of establishing that trust and attention early on. So, it's more challenging for them.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. What about, do you love the whole in process of writing? Is this something you enjoy?
Yes. Which may sound odd coming from a dyslexic, but yeah, I love writing, even though it's frustrating at times, like coming up with idea babies.
I was going to say that. What's your next? What do you hate about it? There's always something you don't like. What do you don't like? Like, what don't you like about it?
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's amazing and it's mega rewarding. But there are always frustrating parts coming up with idea babies. And, you know, sometimes it's just difficult to extract or to start writing. Other times, it's super easy. But you know, overall, email is like magic. I mean, it's as close as to magic as you can get, because you get the ability to. It's not like Twitter or Facebook or these social platforms where you can tweet and your audience of a million people are going to respond to that. I think it's different for celebrities, but with email it's personal, right? I mean, mm-hmm. People are getting an email sent to the inbox, in the same inbox that their partner or their mother would send them, it'll end up in the same place. So I think if you do a great job of making sure that your emails end up in their primary inbox and not in their promotional tab or their whatever the other tab is, it can become magic, because you get the ability to write something and send it to a segment of people and they're going to respond, and you're going to be, you know, earning loads of money from that and helping them in the same time. So it's win-win if done right, and I love it.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you very much today for sharing so much. We've covered a lot. This has been a really, really valuable episode for all of our listeners, because email is something that, as far as I'm concerned, everybody should be doing in their business. Is there something else before I kind of direct people to where they can learn more about you? Is there anything else you'd like to share? Is there something you'd like to share, or anything I've cut you off and feel it could be valuable for the listeners? Or,
well, I think if there's anybody that's not doing email, I can't think of any reason why somebody wouldn't use email in their business. So there's probably a few people out there that don't yet use email, or they have an email account but they don't actively do it. I think that needs to change, because it's probably the most leveraged form of marketing in existence. It's so much. I mean, there's stats out the wazoo of how effective it is compared to other forms of marketing. It's just it's off the scales when done right. Mm-hmm. And there's some clever people out there that are doing it really well, including I think he's still the current president, Barack Obama. His last few. When he's running for, you know, being nominated, and he was sending out emails, he's got a team behind him that are really, really, really good at it. And I think one of his emails created $10 million in the money that they get, so they can run their campaigns. One email, $10 wow. million bucks. That's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive. That puts the $5,000 an email to shame, doesn't it?
They've got a big audience, though. Absolutely. I think when they did that, they got 100,000 people put money in.
Wow.
To support whatever that yep. thing was, and
amazing.
It ended up being $10 million.
That's crazy. I'm glad you shared that too, about just that people should be on email and not turning a blind eye to it, because I think a lot of people too get caught up on the whole, and especially with business market and small business market, especially even a lot, I'm sure a lot of the listeners will look at things like the email marketing programs and look and think, oh, subscription monthly thing. And it might be, you know, not even $20 a month or something, but they don't see the value in it because they haven't used it yet. And then they look at it and think, oh, no. And it's kind of can be a little bit of a barrier for them too. So I'm glad that you've brought that up as well, because for a lot of people that we work with, you know, have the opportunity to work with, we get them set up with systems like that, and then just they sometimes say it's the biggest thing that they've changed in their entire business, you know, the biggest game changer for them. So that's beautiful. Now, what about you? So where can our listeners learn more about you?
Well, you can go to donaldtrump.com. No, I'm kidding. Autoresponder Madness is it's a long, crazy word, but in fact, we're going to be moving all our properties across to our new branded domain, which is going to be tinylittlebusinesses.com. But you can go to either one of those, autospondomadness.com or tinylittlebusinesses.com. I guess that's probably the two best places, or andrechaperon.com is my personal thing.
Awesome. So andrechaperon.com, tinylittlebusinesses.com, and autorespondermadness.com. And I'll put links to all of these on basicbananas.com and in the show notes. So if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can look on the app and it'll be in the show notes there, or go across to basicbananas.com to this episode, and you can find those links there as well. I do recommend checking out Andre's stuff for sure. I don't recommend much of anyone else. You guys are well aware of this as our listeners. So that comes as a high recommendation from us. It provides really good value, as you're well aware through today's episode is a great example of that. So thank you once again for being on the show. Thanks, mate, and I'll catch you soon.
You're more than welcome. And I do way prefer your name than my name. I mean, Basic Bananas is way nicer than Order Smarter Madness.
It's taken. Sorry,
my name sounds far too happy.
Thanks, mate. To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.